This is what I chose for how you to be saved. Now you choose it. I've heard that said so many times. It just, I don't know. It makes me, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. You know, God didn't, he doesn't foreordain who's going to be saved. He just foreordained the way they would be saved. And then they come in and make the choices necessary to, then I'm saved by my works. It's my choosing him. That's why I'm saved. Because he called and I chose. I chose him. Because I chose to heed the call. And I chose to receive the gospel. And I chose to believe in him. And I chose to be faithful. Well, that part, no. You just got to receive the gospel. You don't have to be faithful. He calls us, chooses us. Hey, but he said of Judas, have I not chosen you 7? Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. And so, an unfaithful man can be chosen as well. You can be chosen. God chose Pharaoh. God chose the king of Babylon. God chose many men. They were chosen. They were called to a purpose, chosen, but it wasn't for salvation. Only the faithful are saved. And the message of Revelation of all the scripture is very clear on that account.
As Paul said, we stand by faith.
Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear.
We are expected to maintain the faith. Not to go, you know, it's something you must pursue. It's not something you just can just take lightly. And if you do, like I said, the guy with one talent, what happened to him? The talent he had got taken away. And it's not to say of, you know, how much great gifts you have for teaching or whatever. What it's saying is, you're supposed to profit in the things of God. He gives you something. He gives you the gospel. And you're not supposed to just receive it. You're supposed to take it and use it to get more. There's supposed to be a prosperity in, you know, I mean, a lot of times people totally misunderstand that. They look at it as they're like me. I'm a musician. I teach the Bible. And they think like, oh, well, he's got lots of talents. But the point, I want you to think of it in terms of this, is that you hear the gospel and you receive it. And you add your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, temperance. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because all these things are coming from God. But God gives you faith, and you add your faith, more faith. Then he gives you virtue. And you seek out and obtain greater virtue from him. You know, and I may have even done this when I taught it. I mean, but they over what I would call economize. I mean, they make it all about the economy sort of. I've heard people say to me, they look at it sort of like, you know, making converts. And I go out and make converts, preach the gospel, become missionaries. Not that there's anything at all wrong with any of that. But that's not what it's about. It's about who's going to be rejected by him when he comes. And they received the talents, but added nothing to it. It didn't multiply in them, just like the seeds. The seeds didn't grow and produce fruit. And what is the fruit? People think, well, it's going on doing these works. And yes, that comes. Out of everything else that God gives us, that comes. But that's not primarily what it is. Primarily, it is the continuing in the faith and moving on to better and better things in the faith. And not just saying, I received the faith and that's it. But to what end? To what have you, and how have you prospered? Because how has the gospel prospered in you? You know, is it just something you took as like an insurance policy? Against the fires of hell? Anyways, the waters, people, multitudes, nations, and tongues, verse 15, we covered that enough. It's self-explanatory. The 10 horns, these shall hate the whore. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. There's going to be some sort of betrayal. That's what it sounds like to me. I could see them inwardly hating the whore the whole time. But it could be sort of a spiritual thing that everything they lead her in, redounds to her greater punishment. But she starts off so luxurious and winds up so desolate and naked. What did Jesus say to the church of Laodicea? He said, besides the lukewarm part, he says, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, white, not purple. The shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This is how Christ talks to his churches. Be zealous and repent. We are called to be zealous for the gospel, for the truth, for righteousness, for all those things. And I know in the world we live in it's very difficult sometimes with all the distractions, all the temptations. That's what's very perilous. I think even, you know, in my part of the world here in rich, wealthy America, it can be even more perilous than in places where they have difficulties. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the affairs of this life and all the good things, all the entertainments, all the amusements, all the sidetracking kind of things that are out there to suck your zeal right out of you. And I fight it all the time. So, however you want to read that, verse 16, they're going to eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's pretty nasty. The interpretation in full is somewhat veiled, but thank God, I don't think I shall need to know. Because when this is going on, I'm going to be either dead, prophesying, or raised from the dead, and with Christ. You know? There are certain things we need to know. I'll tell you what, we take a lesson from her. The things that happened to her, you know, I'm not going to commit to things I don't fully understand, but I will commit to what I do understand. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Commit to that. And you will have nothing to worry about what's going to happen to the whore. As far as what that means. I mean, they shall eat her flesh. I mean, she's a symbolic thing. They're going to gobble her up. And there's more written of it in the next chapter, and we'll cover it, and we'll go into more detail. For God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom to the beast till the words of God should be fulfilled.